Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Ted Ross along with PK, and joining us now is a speaker and an author. Now, this is a guy that's a friend of mine, PK. I'll just confess that up front. I didn't get him on, though, because he's a friend of mine. I got him on because he's a man of God who has a heart for evangelism, and he's changed thousands of lives all around the world, really. His name is Bob Lenz, and he is also the founder of an organization called Life Promotions. We're going to hear his story right now and just kind of check in on youth culture and what God is doing through him and through this ministry. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, morning. How are you doing, Ted?
Good to talk to you.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Great to be here.
So right now you're on the road, I understand, out east, right?
Yeah, we're on a 40-day tour right now. We have people going coast to coast, and we're just bringing the good news of Christ to every city we go to.
That's fantastic. Let's just start at the beginning. What led you to found Life Promotions, and tell us what the organization does and what your mission is?
Sure. Well, I never wanted to be a speaker, Ted. I got a C- in speech course, and my teacher told me never to go into public speaking.
Great.
So, I always say I'm out here to rebel, you know?
Yeah.
And but my mom said I could do anything that God wants me to do if I just hook up with him. And I had two special needs siblings, a brother and a sister. And when I was in fifth grade in religion class, I asked why my brother was handicapped and I was quote normal. And my teacher, in their ignorance, said, I guess God loves you more than they loved your brother. Mm. And I just remember that, you know, I wanted to get up and kill her. I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, that can't be right. And I start going, if my brother Tim, who's handicapped, doesn't have value, or does he? And does he matter to God? And I came up with, yes, God loved the world. And he loves the weak and the lowly and the marginalized and the elderly and the unborn. And he loves people so much that he sent his son to show the value and to buy them back. And I said, well, if my brother and sister have value, then so do the 1,800 students a day that attempt suicide and the 18 a day that complete it. And I'm like, I got to tell them. And so that's really how we started going. I don't really want to be a speaker, but they have to know this love of Jesus. And if my brother Tim has value, so do they. And I got to get this message out to them however we can.
Bob, what is it like to just, I would guess, bear that burden when you're looking at those statistics and you're standing in front of a group of young people and you know that in that group there's going to be X amount of them that will attempt to take their life? What kind of pressure do you feel, or how does God just put this on you so that you can share with them something that's going to change their life?
Well, I tell you, one of my favorite verses right now is Proverbs 11:1. It says, a false balance is an abomination, but a just weight is his delight. And so I think the balance between the burden and the call of ministry and the sovereignty of God, because I know that God loves them more than I do. Mm-hmm. And I am not responsible for everybody to do their part, but I do have a burden that doesn't stop. And I guess after, you know, 31 years of ministry, you know, I think I'm more passionate. I'm more committed. We have to do something. The stakes are too high. And to be honest, I'm a man of joy and laughter, but I cry a lot for the reality, especially when you meet the families that lose a child, especially when you look in their eyes and you see that hopelessness and you go, we have the answer. Mm-hmm. We have the answer. And yet 9 out of 10 Christians never lead another person to Christ. And this Sunday in our churches nationwide, less than 18% of our nation's youth will be in a church. Mm. That's not acceptable. It's not just for grandparents. It's not just for the parents. We have to reach this generation. And we know that if 2 out of 3 people come to Christ will do so before 18. So that youth ministry, that youth time is so important and valid. And we see it as a secondary to the lead pastor. We have to see that, you know what, the church has to be about evangelism again, and we have to be about targeting the youth, and we have to do whatever it takes to reach this next generation. Or, yes, we talk about postmodern, but we're going to lose completely this next generation.
Well, I appreciate your ministry, Bob. And what I really appreciate about Bob PK is he can go into a room, I've heard him speak several times, and he can get that audience right in the palm of his hand, even a room full of teenagers. You'd think they'd be drifting and not really maybe
on their phones.
Receptive. Not really paying attention. But Bob has a gift to mix his joy and his humor with the gospel message in an unashamed way. Bob, can you just give us a little nugget, a little taste of what you do? I know most embarrassing moments are one of the things that Bob likes to use to kind of break the ice with youth. Can you just give us a taste of that and then how you bring the gospel in with that too?
Sure. Well, what we do is even we start, what we do is public schools. And, you know, it took us 20 years to speak to a million people. And then the next 4 million, we spoke in 4 years. And now we're speaking to about a half a million people a year. Mm. And one of the ways that we get to do it is in public schools. We get to do programs on values, and we get to do it on courage and respect and the anti-bullying message. And so we do that, and we start with embarrassing moments. So I'm not a comedian, but I'm a funny storyteller, and I get to break down the walls and not dare to be preaching at them, but we talk about their real lives and their hearts and their laughter and their pain. And then we say, hey, if you like what you heard, we have an illusionist tonight. We have free pizza. Come and hear another message from Bob, sponsored by the church. So it's not bait and switch, but we're getting 25% of the school that hear us to come back at night, and then 50% of the people who come back to receive Christ. Mm. It's just been amazing. I mean, we're talking real evangelism, and I love recommitments, don't get me wrong, but not just another person said, okay, I'm going to try harder, but really the people who haven't been in church, hearing the good news, and giving their lives and surrendering to Christ. That's our passion. That's our mission for America.
Bob, I'm just curious, what story have you found gets the biggest laugh from the kids?
I think what it would have to be is embarrassed moment where a guy and girl were on their date, and I talk about how a kiss is supposed to be a token of commitment and not an activity, but one turned into an activity, and the girl just down a can of Coke, and she burped, and the guy was kissing her, and there was no room for the air to go, and his cheeks, you know, looked like balloons in a chipmunk. And some of that, it just breaks it down, going, you know what, that's real life. Mm-hmm. But then from that laughter, I can go, and this boy's embarrassing moment was he was 16, and his parents were getting divorced, and his dad said that he found a new girlfriend, a younger woman, and that mom says she can handle your sisters, but not you. And I want to start a new life. And my dad said he called social services to put me in foster care at 16. And he says, you know how embarrassing it is to tell your friends that your own parents don't want you. So from a laughter to the deepest one of their pains, and then you go, if my own parents don't want me, how can you tell me this God who I can't see loves me? But you know what? If Jesus really isn't risen from the dead, there is no hope. But he has. So you know what? I can promise these students that there is a God who created them that can help them through every day and give them the hope of eternal life with him.
Amen.
We're talking with Bob Lenz. He's an international speaker and author, and he combines his heart with humor and hope as he's speaking to youth all around the world. We'll come back after a short break, Bob, and we want to hear some more stories, but we want to talk, too, about grace. This is a great book because I think it's something we all have to try and grapple with, and it's grace for those who think they don't measure up. We'll dig into that a little bit right after the break.
It's Faith Radio Mornings on the Faith Radio Network. We're talking this morning with international speaker and author Bob Lenz. He's also the founder of an organization called Life Promotions. You'll find links for that up at myfaithradio.com.
Bob, when you're talking with youth, you know, so many times there's insecurity and they don't measure up and they don't think that they're good enough. They're not pretty enough. They're not smart enough. They're not, as great of a jock as somebody else. What have you found as you're talking with youth? Because I'm seeing several of these stories compiled in your book called Grace.
You know, I think what I found is really the struggle with the church and the youth culture is this. We see the mistakes and the errors that the youth are making. We're seeing where they're looking to try to fill that insecurity when they don't feel they measure up. But many times, because we want these kids to live committed lives, we mix up the gospel and we go to how they should live instead of how they are loved first. And it's an order. Parents that are listening, please hear me. I've raised 5 kids. I want them to be pure. I want them. We bought them the promise rings till they're married. But I want them not to misunderstand the gospel. 67% of Americans still believe you can be good enough to earn heaven. You can be good enough. But we're so afraid of a cheap grace that we've stopped preaching grace. We teach how they should live. We teach morality. We teach commitment. We teach how they should share their faith. But so many times we don't just share, you are loved unconditionally, and that the only power over sin, the only way to heaven, the only victory in our lives will come through the grace of Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. And it's what holds, the, you know, C.S. Lewis said, what separates us from all other religions? It's grace. And it's not cheap. It costs Jesus everything. Even in this time of year, as we're going into Easter, we see the passion of Christ. We see what he did. But we have to make it clear that unless the students know that they're loved, it's the goodness of God that leads them to repentance. And we can't get the cart before the horse. And the only thing that can pull us into heaven, the only thing that can pull us America back, is the grace of Jesus Christ.
Well, and to go with your book on grace is the one that's called This Is Life, Real Stories from the Road. And just tying into the message on grace, what have you seen, Bob, a story or two maybe of a student that you've spoken to after a program that receives grace for the first time?
It's so fun. John 17:3 is what This Is Life is based off of. It's our key verse. This is life, to know you, the one true God, and your only son, Jesus, who you have sent. It's actually on my brother, Tim, who was handicapped. He had cerebral palsy, had mental retardation, scoliosis, curvature of the spine. Half his body grew and half it didn't. And I talked to the kids about how important education is, but education in itself can't save us. How important relationships are, but a boyfriend and girlfriend can't be the most important thing in your life. How great jobs are, how good sports are, but if any of those things are life itself, then my brother Tim didn't have life. And so many times people feel the pressure that they have to live up. They have to be good enough. They got to be like their older brother. They have to be like this image of even Christianity. And when somebody sees grace for the first time, just met a girl in Ohio who, when she was 2 years old, pulled boiling water over her body and burned 65% of her body. And it burnt her hair so she couldn't grow any hair to the middle of her head. But when she was 5, she went to kindergarten, and people made fun of her, pulled her hair back, and said that they were ugly like her. And her dad looked at her and said, if they knew who you were on the inside, they wouldn't treat you like that. And to be able to tell that student that now she's in 7th grade, that you're loved because of what Jesus did on the cross, not because what you look like on the outside, and that nobody can take that dignity away. The tears that come down these students' faces when they know that they are loved unconditionally. And it's powerful because they feel powerless. They feel worthless. They feel hopeless. And that if Christ really did rise from the dead, which he did, and he can live in them, which he will, while the power, the hope, that nobody can take away their dignity anymore.
That must be just, it's rewarding, and yet you just have to go on to the next one and the next one, and it's one heart at a time, isn't it, when you're speaking to these kids?
You know, this summer I'll get to speak at Creation Festival, which is out in Pennsylvania. There's 70,000, and had the privilege of being over at Sunshine in Minnesota, and we run Life Fest in Wisconsin. But whether I'm in front of Creation with 70,000 people in front of me or a huge audience in Youngstown last night of 44 people, it doesn't matter. Because when one heart, one story gets to hear his story, it's worth it all. Mm-hmm. And you hurt, you know, but Christ was a man of sorrows. And yet I see him laughing and the joy of that. These things were hidden from the wise and given to the children, where it says he leaped for joy. It's like a laughing, you know, the hope of Christ dancing over us while he aches at the same time for all the foolish places we look to try to fill the emptiness.
Bob Lenz, our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings. He's an international speaker and author. We'll have links to his organization, Life Promotions, up at myfaithradio.com. In closing, Bob, we want to be sure to mention Save the Storks. Tell us what this is. You're in the midst of it right now.
During this 40 days of Lent, this from Ash Wednesday to Palm Sunday, for those who are more liturgical, there we're hooking up with two organizations, Life Runners, and they have runners running across the country, half starting at the Brooklyn Bridge, half starting at the Golden Gate Bridge, and they're running a 5K each, passing off the baton for life, for the unborn. And I got to tell you, I'm pro-life, too, special needs kids, of course I am, but I've been very reluctant to be a part of the pro-life movement because they've been so known for what they're against instead of what we're for, and they've been so known for just the angriness instead of loving and compassion. But I found out those are only the few that are holding some of the picket signs, and aren't you glad it doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he picketed it, but God so loved the world that he gave. And so what we're doing is we're partnering with these life runners and with Save the Stork. So instead of picketing and just being angry and enforcing the truth, because truth without love is brutality. Now, love without truth is compromise. That's why the best book in the world, the Bible, says speak the truth in love. And so what they're doing is they have these sprinter vans, little buses, if you will, that has a monogram set inside. So they've asked the women that are going in, would you like a picture of your baby before you go in? And they offer them counseling, and 3 out of 5 of the women are keeping their babies. But instead of pressuring, instead of pushing our opinions, and we've reduced people to arguments and agendas, and an argument to be won instead of person to be loved. So instead of just angry people, open arms and open doors to these buses. And we found out that 79% of women who have an abortion say it's a financial need. It's why. 82% would feel that they don't even have a choice, that that was their only option. Well, that's not empowering women. That's not pro-woman. And we really want to be about a movement that says you're in a position where you're stuck. Turn to Christ. But so many times, where do they turn to Christ? It's got to be through the church. But the church has been known more for being against something instead of lighting a light, cursing the darkness instead of lighting light. So how do we become known for what we're for without compromise and open our arms and say the church will stay with these women who keep their babies for 3 years financially? So it's just been so great. We actually are traveling in one of these buses, and our hope is to finance this bus. And this personal bus here will go to Boston and will be in front of abortion centers to give hope, compassion, and love to these women in this crisis.
And you're meeting up in Sioux Falls on the 13th of April, right?
That's right, exactly. And so I know you guys have an affiliate out there. We hooked up with them when we were at Lifelight. I spoke at Lifelight last year, and just great people. So, yeah, we're going to end up there on April 13th. That'll be our last date. It's the first time that we've been on the road for 40 days. We try to go out maybe at a week at a time, but we really felt God calling us to do this. And I'd call your listeners even to pray and fast for a culture of life so that we'd see that life is sacred, that life is a gift, that life is something to be celebrated and shared. And I'm personally doing a lucrative fast for this 40 days. And somebody said, well, you just lost your reward. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it to cry out to God, to say, please help us represent your love to one of the biggest divisive things in this nation. Abortion has divided our nation, and it's really, somebody said, are you becoming a pro-life organization? I'm like, no, we're an evangelistic organization. But when people need evangelism the most, they've not been coming to church. So let's go to them with this unit that is so warm and accepting, and offer them hope and see 3 out of 5 women change their minds and really keep that life and give that child a chance to live.
Well, thank you, Bob, for letting us know about Save the Storks and especially the great partnership there, too, with Faith 1270. Thank you for joining us today. Bob Lenz has been our guest, and he's an international speaker and author and is touching hearts and lives all around the world with this transforming message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Blessings to you as you continue on the Lord's work, Bob. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today. Have a great day.